There it is. Happy Friday, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 8:06 in your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bass and tom-tom and snare. Bongos, if you got them.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, the whole variety.
Bang something today.
Bring,
you know what I'm saying?
Bring in the drum corps. Come on.
It's the weekend. Bang something.
Yeah. What?
What? Good morning. Yeah, it didn't come out that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Good morning, folks. Hour number three begins. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. President Trump, one of your top stories, continues to be optimistic on making a deal with Iran. I thought I was a guy who looked at the world through my Bob rose-colored glasses, you know, Mr. Optimistic. And I got to tell you, my optimism is really running dry, but the president keeps on chugging. We'll see. Are they really close to a deal? Will it work out? We all want to know. We're all standing by hoping for the best, obviously. We'll get back to that. But in the meanwhile, we've got our good friend Louis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. Louis, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, and I just have to say, I think Greg deserves a raise, especially, you know, all the work he did managing the phones, managing the show, and managing me. That in of itself is a hassle. So, yeah,
how much exactly did that little statement just cost Greg? Was that a $20 bill or what?
It was a Sig Sauer P220.
Aha! Well,
got pricey.
Well, for that amount, I'll start touting Greg. No, thanks for that note. We fully agree. It allows me to get away every once in a while because we know the show is in excellent hands. But, Louis, let's talk guns. First of all, gun control hasn't seemed all that effective through the years, especially you've shared many stories. Four were shot at a high school graduation in California, which is known for very, very tough gun control. How could that possibly happen?
Again, you know, this crazy thing of criminals are criminals because, shockingly, they break the law. That's the meat and potato of it, folks. We're done with the interview. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I mean, been there, done that, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You have lawmakers that keep thinking, well, if I pass another law, criminals will follow it, but criminals haven't followed any of the other laws I've passed, so I'm just going to keep disarming the law-abiding citizenry. That's what they keep doing. It is, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results over and over again, but expecting a different result. That's what it is.
Now, there's something
gun control works.
Yeah, there's something going on in Virginia, and this initial injunction is about what prevented the Virginia State Police from enforcing background checks, and they violated Article 1, Section 13 of the Virginia State Constitution. Can you shed some light on that? What exactly is going on here with universal background checks in that state?
Real simple. Back in the day, Virginia passed universal background checks. We at GOA sued them. It was ruled unconstitutional. Their new elected anti-gun governor reinstituted it in violation of the original court order. And a judge in the Lynchburg area, again, smacked down the Virginia State Police and the Virginia government saying, what part of shall not be infringed do you idiots not understand?
Yeah, and just for people who, you know, may not understand, what's the downside of having background checks?
You are literally waiting on the government to approve anything and everything you do. And this wasn't just buying it from a gun shop. This was a private purchase. This was a simple transfer. So let's say Greg has a Sig 220 that he wants to sell to you. You know him, Greg knows you. Neither of you guys are convicted felons. Neither of you guys are criminals. Neither of you guys are ne'er-do-wells or vagabonds or any of that. But the government wants to know who's doing a private sale with their own property and tracking it. I don't know. Doesn't that seem kind of Orwellian?
Yeah. Oh, I totally get it. I just think people need this constant kind of reminder, and it gets back to where our rights come from. Are they granted by government or are they granted by the creator?
Exactly. The Constitution simply enumerated our rights. It does not grant anything.
Yeah, and if anything, they're supposed to protect them.
Beforehand.
Right?
Yep, exactly.
Hey, just real quick, James Othmeyer, our Attorney General. Apparently there was some issues with HOAs in Florida, and them trying to put in rules like no guns in common areas and things like that. What was the result of that?
You had an HOA down in the Port St. Lucie area declare that they would be a gun-free zones, and you couldn't have guns in any common areas like sidewalks, roadways, parks. And the Attorney General basically stepped right in and said, again, what part of shall not be infringed don't you people understand? Threatened them with legal action, and the HOA immediately backstepped and said, yeah, we're not going to enforce this. Which is one of the many reasons why I am proud to announce on your guys' show that Gun Owners of America is endorsing James Othmeyer for Attorney General. He has literally been the best Attorney General in Florida history regarding the Second Amendment, and I am proud to say that he has GOA's endorsement.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of meeting him when we were doing the Valor events, of which, hey, first responders, you were in law enforcement. Are you familiar with our Valor event?
I am. I just have not been able to attend.
Well, you have an open invitation. We'll make sure there's a seat for you should you be able to make that, because it's, well, it's right up your alley. And we know, you know, you feel for first responders, and we try to highlight the ones that go above and beyond. And that's what Valor is all about. So, yeah, we would love and appreciate your presence there for sure.
I would be honored, and thank you.
Right in our backyard, our state attorney in this area, Brian Kramer, notified Alachua County that he will not prosecute violations of the county's waiting period for purchasing firearms because of an agreement that is pending in a United States District Court. And by the way, we have a longer waiting period in Alachua County than many places do.
Yes, so that is stemming from the court case of Dunn v. Glass, where the entirety of Florida's waiting period, including its amendment in the state constitution, is being challenged. And again, this is where our illustrious Attorney General comes in. He basically wrote an official brief to the court to summarize it, saying, look, waiting periods are unconstitutional. A right delayed is a right denied. This is not in any way sanctimonious with the Second Amendment. This doesn't align with the state's goals of protecting individuals' civil liberties and their civil rights. He is flat out telling the courts this waiting period is wrong. And it's not just even Alachua, because the counties are allowed to amend it up to 5 days. But on the books, statewide, you have a mandatory 3-day waiting period. He's flat out saying waiting periods in general are unconstitutional, and we fully back him on that, and we support him. And again, this is one of the many reasons why we are endorsing Othmeyer for Attorney General, because he's gone above and beyond what any other AG in Florida history has ever done for the Second Amendment.
We've found it in the past, not just, you know, in our area or whatever, but when things change like this, if it's not spoken loud enough and clarified in many ways, even local law enforcement, they don't always know how to proceed, or sometimes there is a period of time in between, because now there's going to be people maybe demanding, hey, I want my firearm right now. And you're going to have people that, you know, that own firearm stores, or you're going to have local law enforcement maybe unsure of how to proceed. Any thoughts on that, especially since you're former law enforcement?
Well, that's always an issue, and as you're well aware, this isn't the first time this happened, and this will not be the last time it happens, but one of the big things to challenge this and make sure these injustices don't occur is through GOA's grassroots activism and lobbying efforts, but also in coordination with people like our Attorney General. You know, we have contacted the AG's office and said, look, this is an issue, this needs to be corrected. And the AG has immediately stamped the issue out by sending out official notices statewide to certain organizations, to certain agencies, and saying, this ain't going to fly. So that is one of the
Go ahead.
I think we lost a cell there.
So you are,
oh, there he goes.
You are a platform, and your show is also a voice to educate the public on these issues.
Well, and that's why we have you on, Lewis. We always appreciate your insight and expertise, and keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
Definitely, and Greg, I expect my SIG 220 to be wrapped in a bow. Thank you.
A big one. You just keep waiting. It's in the mail, as they say.
Yeah, that's a different waiting period.
Oh, yeah. Keep waiting there. Keep waiting.
Thank you, Lewis. 8:17 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And Iran insists that ceasefire talks are ongoing, but they're also denying they didn't have anything to do with bombing that Kuwaiti airport. Really? Oh. Details on that and a whole lot more coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Stand by. Coming up, 8:35, we'll shine the light of valor on first responders that go above and beyond. That's in about 15 minutes. 8:20 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. President Trump, top story. Hey, are we close to a deal? He thinks we are. He's very optimistic. But then he also said, oh, we'll get a deal one way or another, either on paper or militarily. Ruh-roh. So there's that, and there's this. Iranian officials just the other day denied bombing the Kuwait airport and insisted ceasefire talks with the United States, however, are proceeding. Okay. Iran claimed the damage to the Kuwaiti International Airport was caused by an American Patriot missile that was launched in error. The IRGC spokesman, their Brigadier General Mobi, he issued the denial of attacking Kuwait's airport on Thursday, claiming Iranian investigations, you know, in air quotes, had determined no Iranian missiles were launched at that target. Instead, he said it was a U.S. Patriot missile, presumably launched to intercept one of the missiles that Iran did not fire, malfunctioned, and fell on the airport terminal. Iran's investigators concluded the incident was a result of a U.S. missile defense system error. CENTCOM dismissed that claim and said, nope, that's totally false. False. Iran struck the civilian airport with drones in a deliberate, calculated, and unjustified attack. Well, Kuwait expelled two Iranian diplomats on Wednesday, and Israel's Yonet News argued that whatever face-saving hasty denials Tehran might feel obliged to make, Iran's attack on the Kuwaiti airport served an important purpose. Quote, Tehran was not simply punishing Kuwait for hosting American soldiers. It was demonstrating with operational clarity that any U.S. strike on Iranian soil will produce an immediate response against the nearest available civilian infrastructure. The airport is the message. Yeah. And that does make sense. And this wouldn't be the first time that Iran has struck out at its neighbors and going after, you know, mostly civilian targets in many cases. So This wouldn't be anything new, but I guess maybe they felt it was convenient or face-saving to make denials that they didn't do it and then come up with the idea. But look, and let's be honest, do we know for a fact who is telling the truth? No, in many of these cases, we don't. There's a, you know, there's no absolutes on this. We're Americans. We want to believe that, you know, it wasn't our fault. We also want to believe that if it did happen, that we would take responsibility and say, hey, this was a tragic accident. And it's happened before. And, you know, recently we took a responsibility for such a thing. It can't look it because it can't happen. You know, you're trying to intercept missiles, you know, these things are going high rate of speed, or you've got these drones or whatever, and you try to intercept them. Man, you know, if you get 99.5% right, there's always that chance that something could go wrong somewhere in the process that may have occurred. I don't know why we would necessarily have to lie about it. We'd take responsibility and say, yeah, we were trying to shoot down stuff that they were firing, and you know, this missile failed or lost its targeting or whatever the case may be. But for right now, you know what? Push comes to shove. I'm going to believe CENTCOM for right now before I believe a regime that has built a reputation over 47 years to be a bunch of liars. So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Republican Representative Marlon Stutzman, a Republican out of Indiana, and another Republican from Arizona have introduced a resolution calling for the phased elimination of the $3.8 billion in annual U.S. military aid to Israel and its replacement with a partnership focused on trade, joint technology development, and strategic cooperation. And even Benjamin Netanyahu endorses the proposal. So right now, though, it's a non-binding resolution, urges the U.S. and Israel to negotiate a memorandum of understanding before the current 10-year agreement expires. That's coming up in 2028. And under the proposal, direct military assistance would be gradually phased out and replaced by a framework centered on joint defense cooperation, co-development, co-production, and mutual investment. And perhaps that will be folded into the whole idea of, you know, rebuilding Gaza, and also the idea that a dangerous Iran armed with a nuclear weapon will not exist. So, yeah, there's some factors involved in this, but, you know, it ends up that I believe that could be a good idea. President Trump scoring what many consider a victory despite a growing GOP divide. Late into the night, early morning hours, the Senate finally passed a $70 billion ICE and Border Patrol funding package. They stitched this thing together, a unified front, at least to advance Trump's roughly $70 billion immigration enforcement package. So this is a step in the right direction. Of course, Democrats like Chuck Schumer are absolutely not happy about it, but it is a good thing. And then speaking of legislation and all that stuff, you know, the SAVE Act, they continue to work on that. It's pretty simple, really. You have to provide information about who you are and the fact that you are a U.S. citizen who has the right to vote. It's the SAVE Act. It wants to give elections a much greater amount of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And you had four Republicans go along with Democrats to help defeat the SAVE Act.
Unreal.
There is no logical reason for them to do that unless they also think that cheating in elections is a good thing. You cannot draw any other conclusion from it. 8:27 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more information to fill you in on, so stand by. And did I mention it's Friday? Happy Friday. Happy weekend. 97.3 The Sky.
They answer first, ensuring our safety 24/7. 97.3 The Sky salutes first responders. The Sky Valor Honors Program.
Valor, valor, valor.
June is the month of valor on 97.3 The Sky, the 10th anniversary year of our valor salutes. Every weekday, we recognize the bravery of local law enforcement and first responders. This is what valor is all about. Shining a light on these heroes who are first on the scene when the unthinkable happens, and we honor their life-saving efforts that go above and beyond the call of duty to keep us all safe. The 10th Annual Sky Valor Honors Program. Again this year, special thanks to Valor presenting sponsors who help make Valor happen on the sky. Lawful Defense, Shoot GTR, and Campus USA Credit Union. Also, thanks to associate sponsors, the Allen Law Firm, BJ Trophies and Awards, and Crime Stoppers of Alachua and Levy County. Today's honorees, Sergeant Leroy Prine, Deputy Burt Miller, and Deputy David Ricks with the Levy County Sheriff's Office. It was April 9th, a stunning encounter in Cedar Key. They responded to a call in search of a suspect wanted for a violent offense. Upon arrival, they spotted the man outside the home, but as Prine, Miller, and Ricks approached, the subject quickly retreated inside and barricaded himself within the residence. Knowing that every second mattered, the deputies forced entry. What they discovered was a scene of chaos and desperation. The suspect had used a battery-powered circular saw in an apparent suicide attempt, inflicting a devastating wound to his arm. Blood covered the area as the man continued to lose blood at an alarming rate. Despite his critical condition, though, the suspect violently resisted every effort to take him into custody or to render medical aid. Prine, Miller, and Ricks repeatedly deployed their tasers in an attempt to gain control, but the suspect continued fighting and repeatedly declared that he wanted to die. Faced with a rapidly deteriorating situation, the deputies refused to give up. After a prolonged and dangerous struggle, they physically removed the suspect from the residence and secured him outside. During the confrontation, each deputy suffered a significant exposure to the suspect's blood while fighting to save his life. Even in custody, the suspect continued resisting treatment. Undeterred, Prine, Miller, and Ricks persisted, calmly working to convince him to accept help. Their determination finally broke through, allowing them to control the bleeding and enabling EMS personnel to provide life-saving care. Their actions that day were far more than an arrest. By forcing entry, taking control of a violent and volatile situation, and refusing to abandon a man determined to end his own life, these deputies became the difference between life and death, as a suspect would almost certainly have bled to death inside the home. So for their courage, persistence, and life-saving dedication, the Levy County Sheriff's Office at 97.3 The Sky are proud to salute Sergeant Leroy Prine, Deputy Burt Miller, and Deputy David Ricks, today's Sky Valor honorees. Sky Valor Honors Program, presented by Campus USA Credit Union, Lawful Defense, and Shoot GTR. Thanks to BJ Trophies and Awards, Crime Stoppers of Alachua and Levy County, and the Allen Law Firm. Monday morning, 8:35, we'll recognize another Sky Valor honoree. 8:36, the Bob Rose Show continues. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday, my friends. We made it to the weekend, and the kill switch is dead. They killed... What? The kill switch. Remember this? They had basically put it into law, legislation, that the National Highway Safety Administration would be forcing automobile manufacturers to have a kill switch kind of automatic sensor, if you will. If you're driving erratically, it theoretically could determine whether you're intoxicated or impaired and eventually render your vehicle not to be able to run. And you can think of all the possible bad side effects of that. Look, this is in theory, you had people probably hopefully maybe thinking that this is for the best, that, you know, if this will prevent just a few people from being able to operate their vehicle while impaired, this would be a good thing. But look, and I've experienced it. My car has some of the, you know, the newer gadgetry on it, if you will.
You mean, and the nanny gadgetry, basically.
Yeah. And look, and some of it is helpful.
Sometimes.
I'll tell you, it's kind of interesting because it does have sort of a steering correction device, and it's stronger in some situations more than others.
Yes.
Like on the interstate, it works very, very effectively. On some of the county roads or state roads, it generally works pretty well. But what happens is when I'm in one of my other vehicles, it's like it has caused me to become a little bit lazy.
Well, see,
it's not going to be correcting me like the other vehicle.
We had one that one of the cars I had was overly strong, and that it startled you, and you really weren't in a bad enough position for it to do that.
Yeah, one of mine said, pull over, you need to get some sleep or whatever. I did have to make a quick evasive move to avoid a large dead animal in the road.
And it thought you were falling asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, stop and get some coffee, it said. And then another thing.
I like that one.
It warned me that, it was that, you know, I shouldn't operate my vehicle or something. I don't know. It just got bizarre.
Yeah. Probably length of time driving, input, those kind of, but again, no, you don't need your car telling you what to do.
Well, I really do believe that if you put too much of that in there, then we are going to become poorer drivers,
yes,
lazier drivers, knowing that, oh, the car will slow down automatically and my cruise control adapts to a vehicle in front of it. Yeah, I don't have to worry if I'm not paying attention. And what people do is they'll get on their phones now because the car basically, you know, it's close to self-driving, close enough. And then people become even dumber, less effective as operators, etc. It creates its own whole new set of problems. Look, we need to make driving a more serious activity, not less serious.
Absolutely.
You know, and you could take a page out of the Europeans. They take operating a vehicle far more serious than we do. Can you imagine if you had an Autobahn here in the U.S. with the driving skills of the average American?
We'd all be
dead. There'd be like thousands of dead bodies strewn across the road on a daily basis.
It took years for the Germans to put cup holders in cars. They're like, you should be driving, not drinking anything.
Sipping on your coffee.
Exactly.
You better have both hands on the wheel and pay attention, pal. This is life or death, especially if you're doing, you know, 120 kilometers an hour. Whew. Yeah. Mm. So, now, the nanny state, maybe right idea, but too much. Too much overreach, too much. We need to take the art of driving much more seriously.
Yes.
Pay attention, much more focused, and do look at it almost like an art. Like, yeah, we know you can make that corner. Can you make it, you know, effectively and pretty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know you know how to, you know, make that turn at the, you know, coming intersection. Have you signaled appropriately, given people around you an opportunity to know kind of what you're up to, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. There's techniques. And people used to, I think, pride themselves in their ability to operate their vehicle safely and effectively.
Now it's how many other things can I be doing?
We've lost that desire, and it's our generation. We're the last generation, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up excited. You could not wait until the day you turned 15, because then you got your restricted license, and then you could torture your parents to teach you how to drive or allow you to drive.
Yes.
You know, we all went through that. Today's kids, in most cases, it is just not the same at all. They don't look at driving a car with any sense of excitement, anticipation, or anything else. It is clearly just a vessel and a vehicle to get them from point A to point B, and nothing else.
Yep.
Nothing else. And so also maintenance suffers on it. The care. When I see somebody driving around, and I don't drive around the cleanest car, but I mean, you see some people with like filth and mold and all that. And you say, wow, do you have like no respect for yourself at all? Like, how hard would it be to, just every once in a while, a quick rinse with a little brush?
Yeah.
You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be like, you know, Greg out there with a toothbrush every single day, detailing in every crevasse throughout his fine automobile.
What Bob said. But things growing on your car and you drive it around that way?
Well, and a lot of times it's a safety issue because their windows are just as dirty as the rest of the car.
You're right.
So that's my little rant on, you know, automobiles. And
I'm glad this kill switch has gotten killed, because that was a stupid idea.
Yeah. And need to get people more serious. And it's tough on law enforcement. You know, we see it all around us.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as somebody sees, you know, a cop car, you know, they straighten up generally, or at least they used to.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen emergency vehicles now where people don't even want to yield the right of way, let alone get off the road.
I don't think they know they had to learn it at some point. I look at basics like that as like, you really do not know how to drive correctly on our roads in America.
Yeah.
If you're not pulling over, hitting the flashers, getting out of the way of emergency vehicles, you do not know how to drive. I'm just sorry. No, I'm not. I'm sorry you don't know how to drive, because you shouldn't be on the road with the rest of us.
So that's the rant for today.
Oh, there'll be more. We've still got time.
I don't know. And again, what do you do to get people to pay more attention? I mean, we've already toughened up the rules. You know, you can't have that phone in hand, construction zones, school zones, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are playing by the rules, but I can tell you, as somebody who has, you know, a truck or a Jeep that sits up higher, a motorcycle that sits up higher, and I can look, like, into people's vehicles and see what they're up to, they are, people's heads are down, I would say, 60 to 70% of their travel time. Their head is down looking at their phone.
Well, that concerns me when I'm pulling up to a stoplight and the person behind me is doing that.
Exactly.
Like, I'm waiting to get rear-ended.
But how do you think I feel on a motorcycle?
Not fun.
Yeah, no. And I haven't even had the airbags installed yet, so you know, it's dangerous. I love me some coal. Clean, beautiful coal. And things are getting better for the coal industry in general, and President Trump is helping to see to that. I'll explain details on that and a whole lot more coming your way. Happy Friday, my friends. Welcome to the weekend. It is 8:45, and it's the Bob Rose Show on 97.3 The Sky. Ah, yes. Beautiful. Charcoal-like. Fresh, beautiful coal. Hard to describe it that way, isn't it?
It was good, though. I was going for it. Shiny, you know?
Yes.
The sun just glimmering off its finish.
Yes. Something that, you know, Nat King would really appreciate.
Yeah, he would.
You know?
Yeah.
President Donald Trump expected to make an announcement. I believe he already has. Three coal-related actions. This is a total of $700 million in actions to boost the U.S. coal industry. You know, Florida's not a coal state. We used to, at the Deerhaven plant in GRU to produce electricity, we burn coal and they were always ahead of the curve. Back before, you know, the city bankrupted them, they were ahead of the curve, and they had all these filtration systems and stuff that they were way ahead of the EPA regulations, which, of course, year after year were getting tougher and tougher when it came to coal. But they put scrubbers on that would keep, you know, the coal clean for many years in advance. So at least it was burning in a very, very clean manner, much cleaner than it would be burned pretty much anywhere else in the world. Okay? So, and a great source of relatively inexpensive energy. But then, you know, the naysayers of climate change, all the garbage that goes with it, wham, 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 solar panels and windmills and all that other stupid stuff that people are ignorant enough to buy into.
Oh, you mean the stuff that we got from China while they weren't using them, but they were burning dirty coal and selling us windmills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like adding stupid to stupid and then wondering why it comes out stupid. But there's a lot of estates are affected by this. There's coal plants, a lot of them, 13 coal plants that are going to be rendered some aid here in Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. And this is also going to support coal mines, right? So the coal plants and then the coal mines kind of go in tandem, right? So Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, New Mexico, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. When you see a list like that, you know, you start to realize, my goodness, coal is a major factor in terms of energy. And we had gotten away with from that. And they were closing plants down left and right. But now Trump is engaging in a true all-of-the-above energy policies that most of us with common sense and logic had been asking for a long time. And he continues to push in all directions.
Yep.
You know, gas and oil exploration and all of that. And people's habits are already changing in how they purchase energy around the world. You're going to see a lot more energy going to the Indo-Pacific regions from us that used to be served more by, say, the Middle East. Yeah. So we're going to continue to expand even greater and be an even greater net exporter of oil and gas.
You know, you mentioned all those towns, all those cities, all those industries, and you got to remember what the Biden administration basically told those people and people in the oil industry. Well, you guys just picked the wrong career. I mean, they literally said that.
I remember, you know, the Rust Belt when they were shutting down and, you know, Chinese and Japanese were dumping steel and, you know, putting steel manufacturers, you know, out of business. And people worked at generations and generations and all that. And, yeah, they told them something like, oh, you just need to learn how to code or you need to learn how to work on computers, all that. And which is kind of interesting because now it's like, yeah, now you've got AI taking a lot of those jobs. And we're trying to return to the ability to manufacture things ourselves here in this country. It is, you know, that turnaround, these are all positive things, but they're not going to remain in place. We're not going to further head down that road that benefits all Americans, by the way, all Americans. When energy costs are low, Americans thrive regardless of their income level. We've seen that in the past. It is our lifeblood. Energy is our lifeblood. It's only going to become more critical if we do build these data centers and the other things that I guess will push us into the future. But energy will become even more critical. So Trump's doing the right thing. Here's the problem. The midterms are coming up. If the Democrats get a majority in the House or the Senate, you can kiss a lot of this stuff goodbye, or at least getting any further with some of this stuff, you can kiss it goodbye. Now, if we can get things to turn around the other way and get a few more seats, you know, in the House and Senate, then President Trump and the members of Congress would be able to actually get more good things done for Americans. So hopefully, you know, in the midterms, there is going to be a great show up by, you know, if just the people who voted for Trump come out there and support the Republican candidates, will be in pretty good shape versus the alternative. And you can already see, you know, people picking sides. And the Democrats for years have placed partisanship over worrying about the country. They've done it. But you know what? Some Republicans do that, too. And this Trump derangement syndrome, apparently some Republicans must have just a touch of it at least, right? The SAVE bill. We've had Congresswoman Kat Kamick on several times as a major part of that whole concept of the SAVE Act, which is basically to have elections with integrity so that you have to, you know, have voter photo ID and prove your citizenship opportunity. By the way, like if you have one of the upgraded driver's license in Florida, which if you had a driver's license any time over the last, what would it be, 5 years?
Something like that, yeah.
You would have the updated one, which does not require you to produce proof of citizenship. It's already marked.
There's a little star on there.
Yeah. Yep. And so you don't have to worry about that. So it really is easy peasy to get this done. And yet you had some of the usual suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, these senators. You had Tom Tillis voting with Democrats to stop the SAVE Act. Voting with Democrats.
So-called Republicans, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
They're not.
They're putting their own divided kind of partisanship, their own personal partisanship, I guess, their hatred of Donald Trump or whatever the case may be, and going against, look, Republicans are going to argue about things all the time, and that's not necessarily a problem. Not everybody's going to walk in lockstep, and that's not necessarily good for everybody anyway. But when they're divided because of personality conflicts with the president, that's a problem. When they allow that to be really their great decider versus just on the substance of the actual issue. Like, is it good that you ask somebody to produce photo ID while voting in elections? Of course, yes. Is it a good idea that we can help police the idea of non-citizens not being able to vote by asking people to prove their citizenship? Of course, that is a great idea. And anyone who says, oh, you know, there's not as much cheating as they say, it's not going on. You know, when's the last time you saw somebody arrested for this or that? And those are very isolated. That's what they'll tell you. You know why they're able to say that? Because the vast majority are not caught and are not pursued. That, my friends, is a major part of the problem. They want to measure it by, you know, how many people they actually caught. They're not even attempting to catch them. The 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner. Happy Friday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.